So what I'm kind of interested in, we'll get to the kind of the where it started and where it's going and where it is and all of that, because we have to enter some of that zone, because you know that hasn't been covered on the internet enough. So we need to we need to go there some more. It's really important.
Right.
So but let's go way back. And let's have some little revisionist history way before there was this panic and this veins and all that, and all the other 42 bands before that, because I know that Panic wasn't the beginning by any stretch either.
Started playing guitar when I was 10, and then the rest is pretty much history.
Did you take, yes it is, it better be, did you take lessons?
No, I never took lessons. My dad and my brother always played, so there were always guitars around the house, and kind of just picked it up on my own.
I took lessons for a little while. Yeah, and learned nothing and recalled nothing. I started trying to write songs before I knew how to play guitar. Really, you know. I played two chords and I thought that was enough. I got this. I'll just make it up on my own.
So
but then
goes.
I decided to go back and take lessons after that. Didn't really work out so well for a while.
Take me through kind of exponentially all the bands before Panic, and then we'll get to all that current stuff. There were a gazillion of them, were there not?
The first show I ever played was a battle of the bands at a water park in Vegas called Wet and Wild, and needless to say we did not win or even come close, so you didn't miss a lot.
The agony.
Yeah, I was in and out of bands in high school too, then I went on tour with a band as a guitar tech, and that's actually how I met Ryan, because he's from Las Vegas and I'm from Chicago. So we met then and started playing guitar together, and he was in a band called Panic at the Disco, and they were kicking their bass player out, and I needed a job.
But one of the things that I feel I have to cover is this weird combo punch of what's gone on between you departing Panic at the Disco and starting Young Veins. And what the two things that I want to cover that are kind of interesting, they kind of overlap. One is that I've read enough interviews, but I want you to talk about it a little more, that it really was creative differences and that you had a different vision in your head for what you wanted to do, and you didn't feel you could do that within the existing, I don't want to say organization, but within the existing band. And at the same time, so I want you to talk about that, and then we want to kind of segue into the whole fan backlash thing, because it's really bizarre how fans, no matter what they hear, it's kind of like musicians don't have a right to follow their creative muse in many ways. So let's start with the creative differences, and then kind of this is an opportunity to kind of say to the fans, listen, fans, you know,
I think there was differences on more than a creative level. I think just the idea of what it was like to be in a band and be a musician was completely different between all of us. And that really started to become apparent when we realized that we were doing this as our careers for a living, and some of us wanted to do it a different way.
When you say what it's like to be in a band and what, you know, what that's different than creative differences to a certain extent, isn't it?
Well, being creative, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to write songs a certain way or play music a certain way, or, you know, the way you conduct your life and your morals and your values and stuff and what's important to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than a job for us, you know. It's more than a career. I think that's what we started to realize. It was not only our careers, but our life. And you have to, I think, follow what you want to do in your life.
So when this is unusual, because you obviously had a very dedicated sort of fan, because I don't know that when the Beatles broke up, the fans wrote a note saying, you guys, you know, come on, you have to stay together as a band. You know, it's interesting because we live in this lovely age now where there's so much communication with fans, to a point where they know when you're burping, you know, and a majority of the time that is the band's fault or the publicist's fault or whatever. You know, if you tweet and say, hey, I just, you know, went on a binge, well, then you get what you deserve. but that wasn't really what happened here. They just were, I guess, disappointed, right?
Yeah, I think it's hard for them to understand because they just know this as what they get out of it, which is the songs.
Right. It's like, we have a band, we like them, how dare they? But bands break up, disappear, lose their labels, you know, whatever, all the time.
Yeah.
So why do you think this caused, you know?
I think it's like with anything, you never expect it to be over. Like if you like a band, I mean, like the Beatles, I guess a lot of people probably never thought that would be over.
Right.
You know,
or
and then
a show,
the one,
like
and then
the Sopranos.
Yeah, and then the day
yeah, that's
it comes
true too.
And
your favorite
just
TV
like,
show, it's like, oh my God, he really did die.
Right.
You know, although I think Tony Soprano's coming back. He has to.
Yeah.
You know, there was we were left with anything there that gave us anything.
I thought it was an excellent closure.
People either loved it or hated it.
Yeah.
People didn't know what to do with it. Okay, so now here you are with this new band, and some of this is obvious, but I'm really interested in it. You know, obviously your first gigs, you know, like Austin as an example, you know, these are small little beer, you know, straight, non-existent lighting, sound, yucky poo, whatever, you know. And now, of course, you're already kind of accelerating now to at least, you know, well, tonight at the Independent, that's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great small to medium size. It's even a medium-sized club for you know, for a city this size.
Sure.
Yeah. The moment that you were there, back there in the, you know, in the piss holes, you know, and you're like, oh, gosh, you know, did you just say, well, you know what, we've got a vision and this is going to carry us through and we're cool with this and, heck, we already had our... you know, our major success, so whatever we do from here, we can always look back on that, or...
For me, it was just fun and exciting. You know, we were just really motivated to get this stuff out, and for me personally, you know, I felt like it was more paying our dues, and we never had to go through that as much as most bands have to, so... the reality isn't as bad as you think it would be.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, we were just the guys that we have in the group. We haven't been playing together that long, so I think it, you know, it was a good thing to not maybe, you know, have our first gigs in front of thousands of people.
So when people show up to hear it, I imagine there are two different audiences, the ones that are very hopeful that you will still play some Panic material and then get there and realize that that's just not in the picture. And then those that maybe have somehow have snuck it and gotten ahead, and then those are just totally anticipatory. So what's that mix like as you're walking out there? That's got to be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a mixture of people that that know the album already, which is crazy to have learned in a week or whatever.
And that's then, what I'm saying.
You know, and then there's most people that are sort of just soaking it in for the first time and just listening. And, you know, people that have never heard of us, and then we'll talk to them after the show. And, you know, sometimes like, yeah, I never heard of you guys, and I really enjoyed your set, which is kind of what it's all about.
No, that's definitely cool. And you found yourself a couple of good producers there. So tell me, the Phantom Planet boys. So tell me a little bit, you know, when you're going around and you're making this new thing and you have a sound and you have an idea behind it, did you go to them and say, we have this, or did they hear, you know, how did it all kind of come together?
Well, we met those guys a while back. They opened for us. And we got really close with Alex. And I don't know, I guess we just started playing him some of the stuff, and he just wanted to be a part of it in some way. We didn't have a band intact at that point, so he was going to play some guitar and bass, and then it kind of just evolved into... You know, our other producer, Rob, not being able to finish with us, so he kind of just stepped in.
One of the things that I read, that I read you saying somewhere, is that these songs really are personal, per se, and that you couldn't have done these in the old place.
I think the songs are more focused. We wrote, I mean, at least a good half of the songs while we were still in Panic. With the thought of them being Panic songs at the time. But yeah, I just think that where we did a lot of traveling, we were in a lot of new places for the first time. We went to Southeast Asia, went to South Africa, and just writing the songs, we had, you know, Pretty Odd was the first time me and him started really writing together intensively. And I think on this record, we just further, that collaboration grew, and we just started figuring out how what kind of songs we liked writing.
And in what moment did you decide to kind of switch up the instruments?
I don't know. I guess John just wanted to play guitar. He's a guitar player first. And since it was only us in the band, I guess we kind of got to pick what we wanted to do.
Yeah, it's true. Who's going to tell you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you can't play what you want to play. So that do you think that's one of the things that immediately makes the sound of the band, that there is, you know, kind of a different mixture there?
I think it's just the songwriting. You know, we kind of approached every song a little bit differently. And like Ryan said, Alex played bass on a few songs and played guitar on a few that I played bass on. And
yeah, live, I mean, a lot of this stuff, John did play bass in the studio and I played some of the lead stuff. But, you know, for live, we just switched it up.
So as you were writing these, did you kind of focus on, I don't want to say a concept for the album, but more of a, you know, saying, okay, this will be a Young Vane song because?
I guess the subject matter, we wanted things to be very specific, like take a vacation. It's like a, you know, very specific sentiment.
Or right.
Like, die tonight. It's, you know, it's like subject matter, I think, is what we...
I mean, it is the music that we do listen to, and I think just the classic recording style that was used back then really helps translate.
Was it analog recorded, or was it? Yeah, I assumed when listening to it was, but you never can tell these days.
Right.
No.
I don't know. It's a tough thing because you can never tell if it's like a compliment or if it's a backhanded compliment when people write stuff like that, but... I mean, everything has to sonically come from somewhere.
And I know that there's also, you've been recording some B-sides, there's a lot more material kind of in the pocket too, right?
Well, we did some B-sides, just sort of, we kind of got rushed into doing them, so we did some covers, but we have been working on new originals too.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between,